Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It is a Saturday that we're recording.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Middle of the holiday weekend.
Right. It was the July 4th yesterday, not to date the episode.
Well, here we are anyway, dating the episode, as usual. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm well, man. I'm still so full from dinner last night.
Yeah.
I made some wonderful Italian food. I'm not going to butcher the pronunciation, but wonderful Italian food and a peach and blueberry cobbler.
Which you did bring some of both of those things over, and I got to tell you that cobbler is fantastic.
It is. It's good. If I can do a couple things well, I can make a good cobbler.
Yeah.
That's I'm happy about that. My cobblers have been known to start neighborhood feuds that are still going on, apparently.
My bad.
So I'm doing good. How about yourself, man?
Doing pretty all right. My super exciting holiday weekend has been started with a lovely, necessary tire replacement for my car. Thank you. The random screw that I ran over that happened to be more in the sidewall than the actual tread. So
I still think they're pulling one on you. It did not look like it was going to be in the sidewall.
So
I mean, better to get a new one than to risk it. I understand, but
I looked at like the map of where like safe patching versus like you can't patch is. And like, as far as the line is concerned, it's like right on there. So I understand why they wouldn't be from like a liability standpoint and everything.
Sure. Sure.
Thankfully, it wasn't like super expensive to replace. So.
Yeah, that's good. Well, exciting weekend all around.
Woo,
buddy! I'm excited. I'm filling time here on this one right now.
I know you are.
I'm doing something tomorrow that I have not done in a long time since we're not recording on Sundays like we usually do.
Yep.
I am going to find a river, and I'm going to sit by it.
All right.
That's my plan for tomorrow. I'm going to take a book and a sandwich, and I'm just going to go find a river and sit by it. And I'm so excited.
Make sure you're in the shade, because it's hot as fuck.
I will be bringing my 50-gallon tub of sunscreen. I might just sit in that by the river.
You're going to Vladimir Harkonnen, but in sunscreen?
Yeah. That's what I need to do, man. I get out in the sun, and I just rust. All right, well, that's enough preamble.
Yeah.
Let's get into this minute.
We are talking about minute 85 through 86, and we're picking this week up right where we left off, halfway through, you know, Margot's debriefing of her experience with Fade Rotha. At the end of the week, our leave-off sentence was, "A sociopath of high intelligence, driven, cruel, but strongly motivated by honor, he yearns to be hurt. He loves pain."
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit of back and forth between, you know, whether he can be redeemed or if he can be controlled and everything between Margot and Gaius Helen Moheim. And essentially what it boils down to is Fade's levers are desire and humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the, you know, things that the Bene Gesserit can use against him, which is what Margot's whole shtick was.
Yeah.
Well, part of her whole shtick was to go to Gaty Prime and, you know, identify where Gaius Helen Moheim and the rest of the Bene Gesserit can twist Fade to their advantage should the whole like Muad'Dib Paul Atreides situation not really work out.
Yeah, he's the contingency plan.
Yeah.
He's the, you know, the plan within plan within plan.
The sociopathic killer contingency plan.
But that wasn't her only goal.
It wasn't.
With Fade.
The bloodline is secure.
As she grabs her abdomen.
Yeah.
She got the nut, John. She got it.
No. Do you think... Okay. How, like, weird Harkonnen do you think she would look? She being the daughter that Margot has confirmed has been conceived. Because you got to remember, spoilers, Jessica is a Harkonnen, but she looks normal.
Yeah.
So, like, where is that crossover in the appearance, or is it just a roll of the dice in terms of genetics, do you think?
I don't think it's that simple. So,
or do you think it's growing up on Gady Prime?
I think that is the determining factor of them looking like that.
That makes sense.
I don't necessarily think it's genetics, because that would mean that everyone on the planet shares genetics.
Which is possible.
Yes. Pretty unlikely.
Harkonnens could be cousin fuckers.
Ugh. Gross. Yeah, I guess it could be. My second answer to that, or second part to the answer, would be, what level of genetic control do the Bene Gesserit have? Obviously, they can choose the sex of the child, during pregnancy, or at the point of conception, at least.
Yeah.
So could they be like full on gene map editing?
They're just doing CRISP genetic,
yeah,
or CRISPR genetic tooling and everything inside there. I mean, maybe stand to reason that, like, with Prana Bindu training and everything, that they would have those capabilities to, like, CRISPR their own kids.
So. Yeah, yeah. I know it's not exactly the same, but my cousin recently went through something in this sphere where she was IVF?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she had IVF done, and they specifically chose only male eggs and sperm and all that kind of stuff. I don't know the details for it.
When they were chosen, well, first of all, the determination of male versus female is strictly on the sperm. It's not on the egg.
Okay.
Because you have XY or XX chromosomes.
Right.
XY is genetically male. Mm-hmm. XX is genetically female. Right. So that's your determination.
Gotcha. Yeah, they did that. And they were like, nope, we for sure knew that we wanted a boy. And they didn't. I was like, that's cool as hell.
Yeah. I was like, science is neat.
Science is a liar sometimes. Dumb science bitch couldn't even make I more smarter.
Oh, God.
That's
2 weeks of Sunny references in a row. Hell yeah.
So after this conversation during this conversation with Gaius Helen Moheim, Margot asked why she did not go to test Fade herself. And Gaius kind of looks slightly amused at this point. And it's one of the only times
she's having fun.
Yeah, it's one of the only times we get to see like emotion other than just stern callousness from her.
It's almost like, I don't want to say it's a smile, but it's definitely like her version of humor, mm-hmm. where it's just like, huh.
Yeah. She seems to be having a good time with this part of the conversation. And she says something, which, and I don't know if I agree with this. She says that she is a motherly figure and that Fade killed his own mom. So it wouldn't be a good mix.
Wouldn't be as effective.
As effective, yeah. One, I'm going to push back on Gaius Helen Moheim being a motherly figure. I don't quite get that from her. I more get boarding school principal.
Headmistress of a all-girls school.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Definitely.
The mean nun from your Catholic school.
Yep. Rack those fucking knuckles, baby.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get from her. Not necessarily motherly figure.
I kind of feel like this was a, we're going to make this kind of a laugh line, but it definitely didn't hit as a laugh line, where like there's the whole thing where Irulan's like, what happened to his mother? And Margot is just like, hey, he fucking killed her.
Yeah. I don't have this in my notes, but I do know that like matricide and fratricide runs pretty commonly in the Harkonnen family.
Runs commonly in the Harkonnen family, and just historically a lot of other like noble houses and mm-hmm. like families of kings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Power is a drug.
Exactly. I think I said fratricide when I should have said patricide.
Yeah. Fratricide is brother.
Brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
side note on this, Erlon's got her full body bedazzled suit, which I love. Just the full hood with the little, like, they're not sequins, but like beads.
They look like sequins almost. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool suit in the veil. Yeah. It's nice. It's very cool. But as they continue in this conversation, that's where we get the desire and humiliation. Those are his levers. So yeah, if Paul doesn't work out, they've got their backup plan on how to, control Fade.
And control him, they absolutely will, because
yeah.
they're starting to realize what happens when they lose complete control over one of their genetic lab rats,
yeah,
we'll say.
Pretty much, yeah. So from here, we cut to a rather familiar-looking ceremony.
Yeah, there's that same pendant we saw right at the start of the movie, mm-hmm, on that same silken black pillow.
Yep.
And we see two hands under a robe kind of reach for it and begin to lift it up.
Yeah.
And our minute ends with a man under this robe with the biggest hook nose I think, yeah, I've seen on film in a very long time, passing it off to a set of other hands under a large silky muumuu.
Yeah.
There can only be one person he's handing it to.
Notably about 3 feet taller than he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like holding it up, looking up at like a 45 degree angle. Yeah. So yeah, yeah, we know that he's handing it off to Vladimir.
Yeah. Cool. Well, my book notes for this week are not going to come until probably the end of the week.
Okay.
So I'm going to save all those, anything from Art and Soul.
It's just a book note dump.
Yeah. Hot, steamy dump.
Oh, all
right. At the end of the week.
All right, dude. All right. From Art and Soul, the only thing that I have is just the reminder that this is also shot at the Brion Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. The conversation.
Yeah, not the Harkonnen stuff, but the conversation between all the Bene Gesserit women is shot at the Brion Sanctuary, and That's the only thing that I have for this episode. I'll definitely have some more as we talk later on in the week.
Okay. We're trying to get my, trying to plan a trip to Italy next year.
Yeah.
With my, or at least to take my mom. She's always wanted to go. And she's never been able to get to Europe at all in her entire life. So with my sister's, flight benefits, we're going to see if we can make that happen.
And your sister is a flight attendant.
Yes. Yes. And if there is any possible way that we can go, like, be in the Venice area, I think it's Venice, right?
It's like an hour outside.
Fine. Whatever. Yeah. If there's any possible way that I can, either convince them or split off and go myself, I will be doing it.
I would
to the Brion Sanctuary.
I would fly to meet you out there.
Yeah.
We can recreate Dune, you know, scenes from Dune.
We could record there. The Dune Minute Italia version.
Bro, if they would let us record, I'll fucking just open the notes app on my phone. Hey, this is us at the Dune Minute. We're at the Brion Sanctuary anyways. Bye.
Yeah, that would be cool. But I'm going to try to see if we can fit that into the itinerary, because I don't know when I'm going to be able to get to that part of the world again.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, cool. Love the Brion Sanctuary. It's beautiful. I hope to see it in real life one day. And I think that'll do it for us today.
Alrighty. Yeah, it's a shorter episode, but you know what? It's Monday, so.
Yeah.
Well, as always, the Dune Minute is online in several places. You can find us on bluesky@duneminute.com, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode, and we'll see you then.
See ya.